Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. If you got some thoughts, Del, we still got anybody on the line that wanted to talk? Okay. 713-780-3776. You can get in here in a hurry. If you would like, 713-780-3776. Your Texans with the week off, and it couldn't come at a better time. Once you won, you're 1-6. And did you see Deshaun saying he was tired, Lance? Did you see his quotes?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, I think tired of losing. JJ could not have been. We've never seen JJ this abrupt. We've never seen him this terse. Deshaun was talking about needing a break. Everybody needs a break to get away from this. Romeo, I thought, was actually pretty honest when asked about how Deshaun is playing and throwing for another 300 yards. He was like, "Yeah, but you got to make all the plays, and you know what, when you're driving down the field and you're missing passes, then that hurts the team," which I thought was interesting. But Romeo is papa that can say anything he wants to say. So
did you notice, by the way, how often Jonathan Vilma talked about how salty JJ was in their pregame meeting with him? How there was no smiling except when he brought up, Wisconsin Badgers, and there was no, or being a fan of Green Bay whenever he is a kid. There was no, like, this is the second time in a row that I can't remember who it was last time, maybe Greg Jennings, who talked about JJ not really having a whole lot of smiles or anything for their pre-show. I haven't seen JJ happy in forever. I haven't seen him happy in a long time. And the time has come that I really honestly believe the Texans they really should free J.J. Watt. I think, it gives J.J. a chance to win somewhere else. I have no ill will if they did that. I'd like to see J.J. get a chance to win somewhere else. I'd like to get a pick or two from moving J.J. Watt. He is I think right now he might be your best player on the defensive side of the ball, and yet it really doesn't have much of an impact on the game. Nothing against J.J. Watt, but just for JJ's sake, I'd like to see him go out with a chance to win somewhere. He's been a great Houston Texan. He's been a great ambassador for the city. Is one of the all-time greats. I mean, three Defensive Player of the Year awards. He, before his injuries, he was just a dominant force. And I'm all for him getting a chance somewhere else. I'd be glad to root for him getting a chance somewhere else, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's the third guy, right? It's Andre Johnson, Bob McNair, and JJ will be the third guy up on the wall of
yes
in the stadium. So yeah, he definitely would love to see. And everybody's asking, what are you going to get for him? At best, it's going to be a late second. But he definitely deserves it. I tweeted that out. Yeah, I hope he gets on the Packers team playing and free JJ, because he deserves a shot to win somewhere. And it's going to take a few years to dig out of this Bill O'Brien hole, and JJ's going to be done. And you know what? You grab what you can. And yesterday, Rack said, we're talking about trades. Because, Deshaun had shut that down last
week. That's what
last
I was
week.
Told, right? Deshaun had said, no, them boys ain't going nowhere.
No, them boys ain't going nowhere. And then yet, Rack yesterday, yeah, they've come to me with some trades. Make no mistake about it. I want to win. I want to win right now, so I don't want any trades. But, you know, that's above his pay grade. I don't know. I know Bill O'Brien made all the personnel moves. I don't think they gave the personnel moves to Rack. So I'm pretty sure. I hope that Cal didn't do. I'm hoping Cal didn't do that.
I'm
anyway.
Hoping he did.
Pardon me?
I'm hoping he did give.
I know you are.
Because Rack would be Rack be like, look, I'm no. going for it. I'm going for two, up by seven. Who can I get rid of? He'll be making trades.
No. No, Rack won't make any trades. If it's up to Rack, he doesn't want any trades. You don't want Rack in charge of this.
He's trying
you
to
want
win.
Them getting rid
no,
of JJ.
Actually, have you seen this team? I think he needs if he gets rid of players, it's bad for me. Because this team stinks.
Are any of the Rock Boys tradable?
No, Merciless ain't tradable.
Merciless.
Who are the other Rock Boys?
Any of the linebackers, right?
Are like they all...
Jacob Martin. Who's what's his name? Martin? What's it? Jacob
Martin. Yeah. Jacob wait Martin. A minute. Wait. Is that when they were? What was the uniform they were going in as?
Yeah. They come in dressed up. The linebackers come Bernard in dressed
SWAT,
up as
the SWAT patrol.
Bernardrick McKinney was in that, right?
Yeah. What was that called? That's another one that can. I should have put that on the list of embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. Things. Yeah.
Can the Texans stop dressing up like themes? Can they just stop it until they're good? God, that's embarrassing.
No, they were good, and they did Letterman jackets. Don't do any dress up.
Good in real life.
You know what dress up is for? Dress up is for four-year-old girls. That's not something grown men should be doing.
Four-year-old girls.
Told you. We knew he's not an ally. We knew that.
No, he's not an ally.
No, that's what four-year-old.
She was right.
Have you guys had any daughters?
Are you though?
You know what they do? You know what 4-year-old girls do? They play dress up.
Well, so does 8-year-old boys. Yeah. So does 12-year-old boys trying to
they dress up like
the
cowboys and stuff.
No,
and, right?
I don't. I had a boy, and he didn't play dress up. I can tell you that.
He didn't wear dresses, but did he pretend to be things like a superhero? Did he put on a cape or something like that at some point?
No.
Well, then you're one of the few.
No, one time when he was young. When he saw Vince win the national championship. He made his own number 10 T-shirt.
That's dress up.
That's not dress up.
Yes, it is. He wanted to be like his hero. He dressed up.
That's right. Vince was his hero.
Yeah. I wasn't making a joke. He wanted to be like his guy. As far as the linebackers are concerned, I'm looking at they played dodgeball. They came in dodgeball uniforms.
He was 7. He was 8 years old. Okay.
Dodgeball. What else?
We have the samurais.
Yeah,
I guess. I don't know what the hats are. I'm not sure. Actually, not samurais. I'm not sure what this is. But they did it consistently last year because they were on that win streak. Remember, everyone's like, yeah, we're winning all these games. We're going to get dressed up. It's not a good look now. Mortal Kombat is they had a look for Mortal Kombat last year. More flamboyant than Russell Westbrook, I would say, in these pictures. What?
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
What?
I know. Didn't they come in robes one week and... He's like, dude, put some clothes on.
They dressed up like the Toon Squad from the original Space Jam.
I mean, I guess it's fun for them and everything. Just, please don't post those pictures. Just do it for fun.
No, you do it for the gram, Lance.
No,
I don't know where you've been.
Yeah, don't embarrass. You're embarrassing the gram.
No, that is embarrassing. You're 1-6.
Well, they're not doing it this year.
Don't play dress up. Hey, look at us. Hey, everybody, look at us.
Well, they're not doing it this year. They're doing it when they were winning 11 games last year.
I know, that's true, but it can pop back up the next year.
Yes.
It's forever.
They dressed up as Ninja Turtles.
There's receipts.
Oh.
Or they wore T-shirts like Ninja Turtles. They did a lot of stuff last year.
Stop.
It was Peter Columbi, Tyrell Adams, Zach Cunningham, Bernard McKinney. Those are the Rock Boys, and then they dressed up.
Are they?
Yes.
Are they? Listen, what do you guys see? There's another... tropical storm heading to New Orleans. They deserve it.
Why do they deserve it?
Because they just haven't gotten hit hard enough this year. Every hurricane goes through New Orleans and Lake Charles. I mean, oh my goodness. Can they stop coming at?
Is there really another
Louisiana
one coming?
Louisiana did something, bro. Because it's
they
non-stop.
Won a national title last year, so now it's your comeuppance.
Maybe. That might be it. Here, this is your payback.
Yeah, okay. Celebrate.
Making that deal.
And all that debauchery that you guys went after the title. I'm sure you guys did a lot of nasty stuff. I mean, we know you do nasty stuff.
LSU fan came and stuck his finger in my booty.
So now it's time to pay back.
That's what you get paid. New Orleans ain't all about LSU, but they're taking.
Where it. They win that title game?
They won it in New Orleans.
All right, then. So there it is.
Yeah.
Shout out to everyone there. Hopefully, somehow, some way, this one misses. Although it feels like a target's been on your back the last 2 months. But
how about every national title they win is in New Orleans?
Well, I mean, Miami used to do that in the Orange Bowl. When back in the 90s and the 80s, how many national titles they win there? A couple, so it happens.
Yeah, that's three. Three national titles in New Orleans. That's great. It's awesome. It's awesome. All right.
By the way, have either one of you watched The Vow?
No.
No.
Okay, I finished The Vow, and that's the one where the guy basically hypnotized people, or not hypnotized, he brainwashed people into joining his self-help group, and
right,
then he kind
of was part of that cult.
Right. And then he kind of, you know, snuck it, kind of turned it into a sex slave thing where they had a master slave thing. They had branding on girls' bodies, things like that. It's all on HBO. Well, the leader of that is going to be sentenced today. He could be sentenced to life in prison.
Wow.
And Raheel supposedly is going to be at that sentencing.
As a to show some support? Because he was a victim or almost a victim?
Because he was almost witness? He was almost supposedly a victim.
Not a character witness. He's not going to defend the guy.
You don't know that.
No, I know. I talked to him about it. He's not going to defend the guy.
Well, you don't know what kind of relationship Raheel
had. I just told you I talked to him.
He literally does know.
He's not going to defend him.
He could. You don't know.
But no, I do. I talked to the source.
He could turn when he gets there.
Since last night, he's going to turn?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Know. Oh, like, okay. You don't think that there's ever been pressure put on somebody to turn before they testify?
No one cares about this guy's pressure. He's done for. He's going to jail.
Raheel might still be under his spell.
Well, it wasn't about Raheel. The sex cult was for his wife, and they were lucky to avoid it.
I know, but Raheel tried to weasel his way into it.
No, he was asked about it while he was out doing some type of junket for a movie. And Nishma was out there with him, and it turns out the recruiter, Allison Mack, formerly of Smallville, actress, was like, hey, you guys want to hear about this thing? And they're like, well, okay, what's it about? And then,
you guys like to party?
And then it got a little weird, and they're like, okay, we're done here. We got to leave.
Yeah, but Raheel called back and was like, hey, can I hear more about this?
No, he got a voicemail about it that we played at one point. He has it. He couldn't get it to me last week. But there's a voicemail, and Raheel and his wife are like, ooh, we're not so sure about this. And they were lucky to avoid what happened to some unfortunate women.
Yeah.
It's one of those almost stories, a what-if story.
Well, here's the deal is I still think that you never know. Raheel might have a little spot in his heart, place in his heart for this guy. You don't know. You just don't know.
I do know.
914 ESPN 97.5, 713-780.
Watch how quiet I'm going to be.
713-780-3776 is the number. You better not be quiet because you got to talk about Gulf Coast Chevy.
Well, good. I like talking about Gulf Coast Chevy. The experts there include every salesperson. Craig DeSerf, the general sales manager and GM of the building, and of course, my guy over there. And, you know, they just do such a phenomenal job of making sure that when you step in, that it's not something that's stressful for you. You're there looking at Chevy Silverado pickup trucks, GMC Sierra pickup trucks. They've got these great dealer cash back incentives and purchase allowances available for you right now. They're really very, very giving when it comes to what they're willing to offer you for your trade-in value. But the great thing about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC is that when you start the car buying experience, you are going to feel at ease because you're in control of the process. And it really does feel like home. When you go out on location, people all have their masks on. But the great thing is everyone there, it's the same people over and over and over. There's very little turnover because it's a family type atmosphere. They treat people the right way. Many, many people, once they get the very first one, it's additional purchases are going to follow, whether it's a son, a daughter, a second vehicle. That's how they do business there. Make sure that you check out Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC at LandZCars.com. Find a vehicle you like, and you can start the car buying process right there on the on the website at LanceZCars.com. That's Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and Chevy fan. Silverado, Tahoe, Traverse, or Chevy Cruze, your new vehicle is waiting at Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 918, someone 3780-3776. Gilbert's got some thoughts on J.J. Watt, whether or not you trade him or not. Gilbert, what's going on?
They're going to trade him, or you're going to... the Cowboys.
You think they're going to trade him? He wants to go to the Cowboys because he's going to win there?
Yeah.
You think the Cowboys are a good football team?
No, not the Cowboys. The Colts. Indiana Colts.
Indianapolis Little Colts?
Rivers.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You think he should go there?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if they'll trade him.
What's your opinion about that anyway? Is it going to get traded or not?
Well, I don't think they should trade him to a team in their own division, because the Colts are in their division.
What do you mean you're not going to trade him?
I'm not going to trade him to a team that's in my division. You know that it's the Texans and the Titans and the Jaguars and the Colts.
What? Yeah, anyway, so you sure about that?
I'm not sure about it, but I think... it's unlikely.
What? By the L.A. Chargers or the
yeah, they're not very
the
good.
Las Vegas Raiders, you know.
Yeah.
What about
they're not great either. I don't know that they're going to want them.
What?
I don't think they're going to want them. That's what.
Oh, okay. Really? I didn't know that anyway. You know
what?
What? Yeah, if they want, yeah, what?
What? Can you stop doing that, though? Is there any
what?
Chance? Is there any chance you can stop doing that? What about like, maybe San Francisco, Gilbert?
Probably.
So why you want J.J. traded? You don't like him, or what?
None of your business, anyway. I don't even like him. You don't like me. Can't win a game here.
Yeah, he can't win a game.
Team, you know.
Who's our
you
best team?
You know, right here.
Gilbert, who's our best team in Houston?
None of your business, anyway. What?
Who's our best team in Houston?
The Astros. What else?
What else, yeah. But you always say they're going to lose, too.
What about the Rockets?
What about them? You like them?
Got a new coach yet?
Huh?
They got a new coach yet? They're the Rockets.
No, they don't have a new coach yet. All right, then.
All right, then. Well, talk to you later, then. Bye-bye.
All right.
What?
Thanks for the call, Gilbert. Stop that, though. You got to stop that.
Stop what?
It's none of your business anyway.
None of your business anyway.
Why do you do that?
Oh, my God.
Why wouldn't I do that?
Because Nicole doesn't like it.
She's
that's
not
why.
Listening.
She's not listening. She's teaching homeschool.
She's
oh my
listening,
God.
Isn't she?
I can't. The what just will not. It just. Every time it's like a trigger. I
what?
Can't stop. Don't make me cough.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I mean, I got plenty of ammo from Gilbert's.
I didn't know you had a new one.
No, that one I just haven't played, but he dropped that none of your business a while ago.
And then he goes, none of your business anyway, and he goes, what? And you go, what?
None of your business anyway.
That's a good one.
That is. Well, what did
was
he say
that about?
Del, what was that one about?
I don't remember. Did we ask him a question about? Who was it about? Some.
He said that to me. I asked him about
something personal that he didn't appreciate.
Goodness.
Yeah. And I never get personal with Gilbert. So
well, he does draw a line for when you start asking. He does like to stick to sports, except when a black guy steals his bike, then he gets off of sports. But when you get into stuff about him, there's a line that he won't allow you to cross, and then it's none of your business anyway.
None of your business anyway.
do y'all remember when Gilbert's mom said, "Gilbert, hang up the phone"? Like when did
Gilbert
that happen?
Hang up the phone.
When did that happen? Like what was in the middle? What was that in the middle of? I wasn't there for that one.
He was just on the phone a long time, and she was like, "Get off the phone." It wasn't anything crazy. He had just been on the phone.
What did you guys do when you heard that? Did you lose your mind?
Of course.
Yes.
Of course. It's the first time I had ever heard Gilbert's mom. And she was not happy.
No. She wanted Gilbert to hang up. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
Gilbert, hang up the phone.
Yeah. Yeah, he knew it was time to go.
And he ran.
He hung up that phone.
He hung up that phone, boy. She told him, hang up that phone. He hung up that phone. Right? Because he didn't want none of that heat.
I can't do that anymore.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my God. I can't be sick and have Gilbert doing that stuff. Or Dell doing that stuff, really.
I don't know.
Not even Gilbert. He's just trying to trade JJ.
Yeah, he's looking for trade opportunities. He's on the trade machine trying to get JJ out of here.
Speaking of which, apparently the Houston Texans, Jason LaConfora says there's interest in Duke Johnson and Darren Fells. Now, those guys can bring seventh rounders. Honestly,
what in the world would you get for that?
That's what I'm saying.
Johnson, you might get a fifth. You might get a fifth or sixth,
what
or maybe
the Texans
even
give up for him. A first and a second.
I believe
no,
a third,
no.
Right?
They give up a third for Duke.
They didn't give up a first and a second for him. Seems like something Bill O'Brien.
They gave up a third, which was probably a round two early.
Don't laugh and say, "Oh, like that's not something Bill O'Brien would do." Okay.
No, but they gave up a third for a guy who was never going to be there. It was a fourth that turned into a third.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he played.
It was a fourth that turned into a third.
Yeah.
Right.
And it should have just been a fourth because he was never going to be a starter for the Texans.
Yeah.
I'm done with all their bad trades. It doesn't matter.
Well, what are you going to get for Darren Fells?
Who's trading for Darren Fells?
You could see a team that wants a...
Maybe the Bills without tight ends right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Darren Fells might get you a – you could find a team who'd be interested in a kind of a wide tight end who could block for you some, could catch it. But I mean, once again, what do you get for it? Is it a sixth? You might get a sixth.
So who's got an injured tight end that's in the –
Well, the Bills had everyone go on the COVID list. But they have four tight ends, so I don't see them doing that.
Well –
I'd have to look and see who needs a tight end.
What would you give up for a guy that you're going to probably play for a week or two? anybody else that's lost their tight end? Oh, the Eagles had lost their first two tight ends, but they're terrible. So you don't they don't
terrible.
Need to do.
The Eagles are 2-4-1. They're the best in the division.
Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah, they are terrible. So
what an embarrassing division that is,
right?
I would much rather be where the And can you believe, I didn't get to talk about it, can you believe that Andy Dalton got hit like that and not one offensive lineman jumped on John Bostic? Not one player got in Bostic's face. It was so bad that the head coach, who will be one and done, he is not making it a second year, that the head coach had to call out the rest of his team publicly in a press conference saying he was disappointed that no one came to Andy Dalton's defense. What a mess it is in Dallas.
Yeah, but what
right
was
now.
The score and what were Andy's stats at the time?
I don't know why.
If that was Dak, they would have been scrapping both sides.
Yeah, because that's their quarterback. They just don't consider
they don't care
Andy
about Andy
their
Dalton.
Quarterback. But the problem is, if it's your teammate, you gotta do something. You got to do something in that situation. Somebody should have jumped on him. Now Tyron Smith isn't out there. Like some of the offensive linemen were not out there that are starters and that would have been leaders. But at the same time, I just don't know how you let one of your teammates get clocked like that and you don't jump up and do something. That was pretty telling. And even the head coach coming out saying something, that was really – it's really bad there. It is really bad in Dallas, obviously.
Well, and how about that Bostic's not expected to be suspended?
No, I was a little surprised by that.
I mean, what do you have to do to get suspended?
What's his fine?
If Andy Dalton's missing a week, John Bostic should miss a week.
What's the fine? 50 G's?
I don't think it was. I don't think it was that big. What was? Did they end up fining him?
Might be today.
It's coming out today. Yeah.
I'm looking right now. Oh, unlikely to be suspended. Let's see.
Yeah.
Unlikely to be suspended. I know about that. He'll be fined. I don't know. I think it comes out today. I think we'll find out. We'll see what happens with John Bostic. But I think if you're Dallas, it really is telling that your quarterback, and I don't care if he's not your full-time quarterback, you got to go out and protect your quarterback, because look who they're going to be starting now, Ben DiNuccio, one of John's guys. Wasn't he in Greece?
Wasn't
Ben DiNuccio one of the guys from Greece or Greece 2?
That's what I said. I thought he was from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I thought he was from Greece 2.
No one saw Grease 2. So even if he was.
Yeah, we're going to score tonight. He was one of the ones bowling on Grease 2.
But no one saw Grease 2.
Yeah.
No one knows if
Grease
1,
one of them.
Anything. No. No one knows.
Daryl asked.
Michelle Pfeiffer was in Grease 2, right? I think I've seen that movie. Well,
oh, yeah. You've seen it.
It's terrible, but I've seen it.
I think Ben DiNuccio or DiNucci or whatever his name was, I think he was the one who was like.
Wasn't he in the T-Birds?
Do it for our country. Yeah, he was in the T-Birds. Yes. Walk, talk like a T-Bird. Prowling. Remember? We're going prowling tonight.
No.
And then he started for the quarterback. Yeah, we're going prowling tonight. Yeah, it does sound a little creepier in 2020.
Who's Gilbert's favorite? Olivia Newton-John. Greece Michelle one. Pfeiffer's a hoe.
What? He never called her a hoe.
Never called Michelle Pfeiffer a hoe.
Yeah. Oh, really? Did you see her in Scarface? Hoe.
She's an actor, John.
Well, she was a... Yeah, and that was because of Coke.
Yeah, it's not really her fault. She got on this stuff.
Yeah, she was on that stuff.
That's all right. And listen, I'm not going to – that's fine. Get on the stuff, but don't hoe around. 713-780-3776.
She was with two guys in that movie, right? How's she a hoe? She was with the first older guy, and then she got with Tony. That doesn't make you a hoe.
Yeah.
That's only two guys.
Well, she went with the money.
Well –
she kicked the old guy to the curb.
Well, Tony tickled something she liked until he didn't anymore.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
And then what happened?
Well, you know, he died.
He said what?
Well, he
You're
died.
Polluted.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did go with the so polluted move.
It's so polluted that, that was aggressive.
That was a bit aggressive, okay? I don't think she liked him much.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
All right, 713-780-3776, 930. Come on in, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is it really, Del?
Yeah, it's the song. I think they're in a club dancing. I think it's Scarface.
This is Scarface?
It's from one of the club scenes, I think.
Man, since last week I've watched
her, right?
Yeah, dancing, right? And they're in the club, and he first sees her before she was polluted.
Well, she was polluted, but the other part. I tell you, I watched a movie from the 80s that does not hold up well. Running Man. The Running Man with yesterday when I was sick, I just left the TV on the whole time. And so I started watching Running Man like, oh, you know what? I kind of like this. Let me see this. Oh, my gosh. It is so unbelievably outdated. Although, in one scene early on, Maria Conchita Alonso, by the way, one thing I've noticed, the booty was not a thing. Like, so you got all these dancing girls because it's a game show. Richard Dawson, you know, it's called The Running Man where they go and, no, it's called, yeah, I think it is called Running Man, and they have different people who are called stalkers, including Jim Brown, Jesse the Body Ventura, Professor Tanaka from wrestling. These are all different stalkers, and then some guy who sang opera for some reason. But one of the scenes is, you know, you got these dancing girls, right, who are, you know, as Richard Dawson's coming out, these girls do these dances. It was a slim world back then. It was slim nation. It wasn't, what do you call it, slim thick, Dale? There was no slim thick. It was just slim. And that's, and even Maria Conchita Alonso, and she wears this tight bodysuit that they have her in whenever she gets in trouble and has to get shot back, you know, shot into the area where she's going to be stalked to. I was like, that's slim too.
That's why Grease 2 sucks. Michelle Pfeiffer, too skinny.
Well, so the other thing was just, but they did have a scene where this is 1989. She walks in and she goes, either 87 or 89, she walks in to her house and she goes, lights on. And the lights go on. Television on. Television goes on. They actually hit that. Like, you can do that right now with Google Home or whatever, or Alexa, whatever the case may be. You can actually turn your lights and TV on with your voice. They actually nailed that back then. They didn't nail when they got on a computer to do something with a computer. Ooh, that doesn't age well. That futuristic computer. They just couldn't envision what a computer would look like. It's the most broke down ass looking version of a futuristic computer program I have ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't. I mean, for them to predict though, Lance, I mean, that would be pretty unbelievable. There have been some futuristic movies that have been close though, I think, that have done a good job. We didn't talk about this. Jalen Waddle, local guy, Episcopal High School. Done for the season, he fractured his ankle. And how about Nick's response? Yeah, he probably shouldn't have returned that one.
Yeah, you feel bad, you know, and it wasn't even supposed to come out in that situation. So we weren't supposed to bring that out of the end zone. But he's a great player. He makes a lot of plays, so you got to let him do stuff. But, you know, why he's coming out of the end zone there, you know, he's lucky he didn't break them both. The terrible job. It was dumb. But now we'll have to live with it.
What a
Nick,
jerk.
Man, you're kind of, wow. That was kind of rough, Nick. He's out for the year. Because he just came. He's out, okay? He's definitely out. And he's out for the year. And
does this change? First
it's a real
of all,
shame.
Okay, first of all, Lance, what about his stock, his draft stock?
Nah, it doesn't change anything. Unless, I know he had, unless it turns out that it was like a really severe dislocation, but it's happening right now, late October, based on the timeline. Look, you know he's really fast. I think he showed enough. Here's the thing that's interesting enough. I'm curious if one of the guys listening to us who analyzes feels the same way, who actually works for an NFL team. But to me, I actually saw more with Jalen Waddle this year than I had seen previously. Like, he showed an ability to be a better route runner, a more complete receiver. I thought the few games that he got to play full on, he actually showed me something that I didn't know he had. I think Jalen helped his stock this year We always knew he was fast, but he actually showed some receiving talent that I think helped his stock. So I don't think he hurts himself at all. I think he helped himself by playing this year.
No. But when you fracture an ankle, now it depends on how severe the fracture was, like you said. And will he ever be? Will he be the same guy? Will be he be as fast? You're going to have to take the chance because he's not going to run at the combine. He's not going to run. I mean, he might maybe run at. Maybe there'll be a pro day. He's going to be able to run. You just got to trust that he's going to be able to run the way he used to run. But I think with a fractured ankle, we'll see what the doctors say about it.
Individual workouts. I see. Even with COVID, I think you're going to see pro days now. They'll just be handled more carefully. We know how to do it better. I think you'll see individual trips to teams. Although I'm not sure how they'll do that, but I think we'll see that. He'll have a chance to get the medical clearance and to get the physical stuff. I would think by March. He'll be moving fine. Is my guess, but I don't know. I need to look into it more, but. Jalen, to me, you know exactly what he is. He's a burner. Unless there is something medically that changes his ability to move and run, I can't see him being hurt by this injury.
No. All right. Now, what about Alabama this year? I mean, Dell, does it change your attitude about whether or not they can win at all?
No. He is a special player, and he's a guy that can change the course of a big game. But they still have, I mean, you watch them. Devontae Smith's a big-time player. John Metchie, the guy who's kind of risen as Ruggs and Jeudy headed to the NFL. But Jalen Waddle is a guy who makes them infinitely more difficult because of what he can do in the return game when you're punting the football back, the concern you have for him, and also what he does in the receiving game. They're still going to – I still think they're the best team in the SEC. We'll see what Georgia has – if they see Georgia again. But he's a guy that can change a big game. So, sure, it limits them. But as far as getting to a title game, I don't think they're less likely. I think they still have too much for Georgia offensively until proven otherwise. I mean,
even if they lose, if they go undefeated and they lose to Georgia in the championship game, they probably still make the playoffs the way this season is going.
Yeah, I mean, the Big 12 doesn't have a contender anyone really believes in, and the Pac-12 will have a team that will play less games. Yeah, you lose to Georgia, and Georgia has one loss, and you have one loss. Yeah, they'll both make it in. It's not the question of whether Oklahoma State will go undefeated. It's that people won't respect Oklahoma State because they will have considered to have played nobody. I mean, they could run the table, I guess, but when people look at them, they're going to look, you're not even as good as those Oklahoma teams people smacked around. They're just not going to be respected.
Yeah, but if they even – it'll be interesting to see if they get one loss and they're the champs if they get there.
Well, who will – at the end of the day, they're going to have to hope – like if they beat Oklahoma, that probably removes Oklahoma from the equation of being a top 25 team in the playoff, possibly, at least a top 15 team. They might not have a top 15 win on their schedule by the end of the season. So, yeah, as a Big 12 team, they have a real good shot of getting in, particularly with the Pac-12 only playing, seven games or so. But they're going to have a real argument if it's Alabama as the one-loss team that they have to fight against.
Yeah. Oh, no, Alabama, we get that. If it's them or Alabama, Alabama gets it. I don't think there's any question. Even though they win their championship, Alabama still trumps them. There's no question. 713-780-3776.
I want to ask you guys something real quick. There's one of the NFL trade deadlines going to be coming up, and so Matt Ryan is continuing to be discussed, and he said I'm open to it or whatever the case may be.
Julio Jones says he's too good to be traded.
Yeah, and I get all that and whatever, blah blah blah. But I was thinking about this. Who trades for Matt Ryan? Well, you trade for Matt Ryan if you think you got a chance to better yourself at quarterback and move forward. But who is it that needs a quarterback right now out of those teams?
The Cowboys.
I mean, you could say the Patriots. You could say, yeah, but the Cowboys have to figure out the Dak thing, which is a big – I don't know that they're willing to let Dak walk and take on – I mean, I think Matt Ryan's better than Dak personally – but I don't think the Cowboys are going to do that.
If you take away the cow, and there's no way the Cowboys are winning this year, so I don't think they want to. You know, I don't think they want to. But they do have talent. I mean, they have talent to win. I mean, they shouldn't be doing what they did last year. That's horrific. But I don't know if I want to do anything with Mike McCarthy at head coach. But who are the teams that are in desperate need of quarterback that can that are in position to win? Can y'all think of any? I mean, I come up with New England because of their division.
Are they really in position to win?
Well, yeah, I think New England can win in their division, yeah. And I think he could be an answer for two or three years.
Who's
I mean,
Matt Ryan throwing the football too in New England?
That doesn't change. New England needs receivers.
They need weapons all over the place.
Then tell me everything. Then tell me where Matt Ryan could go. I can't come up with a team. Saints?
I picked the Cowboys a couple weeks ago before they showed how truly awful they are, because if you're the Falcons, you're trying to secure a number one pick overall. Matt Ryan's too good for that. And Trevor Lawrence is a Georgia kid. So that would be the obvious choice. But I don't know where you trade a veteran like Matt Ryan. There's no... It's a league with quarterback play, unless you think but the Bears have already made their trade for a veteran in the offseason. I think the Bears would be a place
for
him.
The Bears, you're right. The Bears are the actual answer, and you say, sorry, Nick Foles, beat it.
Yeah, that would be the option, but are they willing to make multiple trades for quarterbacks within the calendar year?
Especially after what Nick Foles said this week. Nick Foles told the broadcast crew, he said, yeah, Nagy'll send in a play. It's not really a good play.
He came out and said that was not conveyed the way it was supposed to be. Here's what I'm saying. Once again, your offense could not score your defense. It really doesn't matter if it's Nick Foles, if it's Mitchell Trubisky. You're the Bears with a Super Bowl caliber defense. That's the only answer. Dell's right, or whoever said that. The Bears are the only answer because the Cowboys have a losing record. They're not any good. The Bears actually do have a chance to make some noise. The only correct answer is the Bears. And I think New England could be – I still think New England could be an answer because next year they have all their defensive players coming back, so they're going to be better on defense again. New England?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think you could still make a playoff in that – Nah, you probably can't, but I think that could be a move for the next 2 years, though, even if it's not for this year. Because you do have seven starters on defense who opted out. I mean, you know, you can add some offensive pieces and be right back in the mix next year.
You've got two 5-1 and a 5-2 wild card team. There's only one more wild card spot open up, and the Colts are 4-2. And then you got 3-3 teams ahead of you, the Raiders and the Dolphins. So, I mean, you got a ways to go to catch up. And then you're tied with the Chargers.
Yeah, but it's not just about this year. It's about the next couple of years, too.
Well, yeah. No. Matt Ryan, obviously, yeah.
The Bears are the better option. The Bears are the option that makes the most sense.
Yeah, at 5-2, that team needs, they need some help. They need a lot of help at quarterback. It's 947 ESPN 975 713-780-3776.
The Colts would actually be maybe the best option of all, but they got Big Philly, so.
Yeah, right.
Your home for sports is ESPN 975. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I hope you're happy, Lance. 73 to high today, 66, 64, 66, 69. Congratulations. Jerk. The worst. We need 90s. That's what we need around here.
This is great.
That makes us Texas.
Okay. I mean, actually go outside and lay down on the driveway for a little bit today.
You're going to go lay down on the driveway today?
Yep.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, you got to enjoy this weather.
Yeah, and have some bulgogi fries delivered to me.
Ooh.
Yep.
Bulgogi fries.
Yep.
Get that rice with the egg on it.
Mm-hmm. No, not or the corn with the egg on it.
The corn, I'm sorry.
Yeah, or the rice. Either way.
That's
I was like ordering when I was since I've been sick, I've been ordering like literally. It's been an Uber Eats fest. My wife said, What did you get now? Like something new will pop up at the door. Knock, knock, knock.
And you know,
what is this?
You know what your response should be?
What?
What Gilbert would say to you? What would Gilbert say to someone who asked him questions he doesn't like?
None of your business anyway.
None of your business anyway.
That's how you respond.
Business anyway.
None of your business anyway.
Yeah. Do you think that DeAndre Hopkins flipping off all the Trump supporters is Texans worthy? No. Okay. If Bob McNair was alive, he would say, I'm glad you traded that some gun.
They said something about swerving through a caravan. What does that mean?
I guess they were marching in the street or something, I guess, and they had a caravan of Trump people or even just driving all together, and he's swerving in and out of them, and he's flipping them off. There's a picture of him with no hands on the wheel, and he's just got both fingers up.
That's dangerous unless he's driving with his knee.
Well, yeah, but that's easy. Actually, I'm better with my knee driving.
Knee driving is easier than probably the car insurance people would like for you to say it is.
No, right. No. Are you going to watch Game 6 tonight?
Yeah, I am. Cheering as loud as I can for the Rays. This feels inevitable, like the Dodgers are going to win. It's really it's a lot like the bad guy. It's kind of like The Last American Virgin where the kid drives home and he's crying in his car and the James Ingram starts playing and the credits roll and you realize, oh, looks like the good guy's just going to lose and the bad guy's going to win and that's how it's going to go. That's what it feels like with the Dodgers. I feel like the bad guys are going to win and because make no mistake, the Astros are the good guys. The Dodgers are the bad guys.
No, the Astros are the great guys, not the good guys. They're the
there it
great
is.
Guys.
And here it is, A.J. Hinch just driving away. He's got tears in his eyes. He doesn't have a job. Alex Cora is getting ready to go back to the Red Sox. Dodgers win a championship. He wanted to bust up the thing. He tried to hit the stupid computer with his bat and try to send a message, and no one would listen to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's Cody Bellinger celebrating, rubbing his wang all over the trophy.
Whoa.
Stupid-ass Jock Peterson, who I hate. Clayton Kershaw with his...
Cody Bellinger's face the most.
I do, too. And then here's the Astros. Here's Jeff Leno with his five or six different giant notebooks of information he had that proved he didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And the commissioner's like, what is this? I think you need to read these. This will exonerate me. He said, do you hear this music in the background? This is James Ingram, okay?
And
you know what that means?
And that hula, Karen, just like the trophies. Oh, come here, Dodgers. I don't know. I know you've treated me poorly and never really appreciated me because you're always around and then you don't really grasp the opportunity, but now I'm going to give myself
gets
to you.
Gets right back together with the Dodgers.
Karen.
Right back. Rob World, Manfred in the league
World
gets right
Series
back with
trophy. Hoo-ahs.
Mm-hmm.
Hoo-ah.
Oh, thanks for this necklace that you gave me, A.J. Hinch and Jeff Leno. Now I'm going to go over here.
Hoo-ah.
So a hoo-ah trophy.
Lance, you haven't even mentioned Khabib.
Oh, my God.
Retiring.
Did you guys see what Khabib... So... That was pretty awesome to be able to rent that pay-per-view. And then, by the way, thanks, Mickey, for making me have an ESPN Plus membership and then have to rent it on top of it.
Uh-huh. That's right, Lance.
That's right, Lance.
Money's tight.
Well, he needs a bonus.
But I...
Disneyland's still not open. We got to make money where we can.
And they certainly are doing that. But did you see where Khabib... First of all, Khabib was great. Justin Gaethje, he kind of lost his technique early on. He just started flinging, you know, throwing from his hips, I mean, from his ankles. But now I will say this. He did land some shots on Khabib, too, and I wouldn't have minded seeing another fight between those guys. But Khabib retired after the fight. He said he was cried for 2 or 3 minutes in the middle of the ring after the fight. He was devastated. His dad wasn't there. He made a promise to his mom that he was going to do this one fight and be done.
He said, he told Donald Cormier, DC, he said that he had one type of choke, and he had an armbar ready to dial up, but he had seen an interview with Justin Gaethje where Gaethje said he would never tap. He didn't want to tap. He would never tap. And he knew Gaethje's parents were there. They allowed Justin Gaethje's parents to be there, and he really respects Justin Gaethje. He likes Gaethje. They're represented by the same agent. So he said he intentionally switched from an armbar, which would have potentially broken his elbow if he hadn't tapped, to a triangle choke where he could have just tapped him out, put him to sleep, and he wouldn't have had any kind of permanent damage. And it would have been more respectful to his parents. So he did that as a sign of mercy. He switched from an armbar to a triangle choke, Khabib did, because he likes his kid and he didn't want to hurt him in front of his parents. That's like the most gangster thing I've ever heard of. He's 29-0. He's undefeated, and he will not come back. This isn't Conor McGregor. This isn't now Henry Cejudo, who's like, oh, I may come back if they show me the money. This isn't going to be about money. It's going to be about a promise he made to his mom. It's going to be about missing his dad. Remember, his dad is the one who got him started by, you know, fighting cubs, like actual bear cubs, that he would have to fight them as a kid. You can Google that if you need to watch him fighting. This is when you know you've got the wrong side. When you have Conor McGregor, by the way, two times I've tried to fade Khabib with Justin Gaethje and with Conor McGregor. Both times, I don't know why. The first time I had McGregor, and then I saw the video of a cub, of him fighting a cub when he's like 5 years old. That should have been enough for me to try to just buy the other side out and just say, forget it. I'll just lose a little bit here because I can't go against a guy who fights bears from the time he was young. That's just, and the fact that I saw that and still decided to fade Khabib again after how he smashed Conor McGregor and then jumped into the crowd to fight all of Conor's buddies.
Yeah.
Why in the world am I on the other side of this guy?
Yeah. No, why? You'll never make a living betting against Khabib.
There is no value that I thought Justin Gaethje plus 260. This is ridiculous. This is great value. He was able to lay on the ground and decide what way he wanted. No.
There's zero value in a loser.
You can't beat a Russian who fights bears. You can't do it. They're the toughest people on earth.
Right.
And who's fighting for his dad? Oh, my God. You couldn't have put a number up there high enough on Khabib now that, you know, in hindsight.
Man, John Bones Jones was none too pleased with this goat talk by Dana White. I mean, he came after people on Twitter. I'm just going to ask for the heavyweight championship belt and see if they give it to me, since we can just ask for things now. If I started fighting for titles four fights ago, I look like an absolute beast too. But okay, I guess you're only worth your last performance in this game. When I signed with UFC, I was one of the youngest fighters on the roster, youngest champion in the history of the sport, and have only had three competitive fights.
Hold on.
If I got outranked by a man with only three title defenses, I don't really know.
Hold on. Is this all because Khabib wanted to be the pound-for-pound champ? Be considered the pound-for-pound best fighter?
No, Dana White called him the GOAT.
I mean, but that's it?
Yeah.
This is what he's all salty about?
Yep.
Oh, my God. John Bones Jones is the same one who's coked his way out of fights, had issues with PEDs, testing positive, drug tests that he's ended up not making weights. Like, John Bones Jones has been a great fighter, but he's been his own worst enemy. For John Bones Jones to get salty about Dana giving a compliment to an undefeated fighter who is going out of the sport, man, what in the world?
Well,
I can't believe that's what Bones Jones comes with.
Yeah. No. Let him have his people want me to stay quiet and let him have his moment while I just sit back and watch my hard work get moved down the rankings. It's not fair to my family or the team of people who have sacrificed to get me this far.
How much money is he losing because of that again? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Jones will get a million payday. It doesn't matter. Whenever he fights, he's getting huge paydays. To bitch and cry about credit being given to another fighter because he's being moved down the rankings and now his family can't eat. Do you think maybe his family will starve to death because because Dana said something about another fighter being the GOAT.
Well, since
this is the
NFL,
dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
I'm pretty sure since they're in the NFL, they're going to be fine. I mean, you want to talk about a talented family. Holy crap. 10:01. Beat it, Lance. So
I don't hear the music.
Beat it.
Mind your own business anyway.
Lance is beating it. So
your business anyway.
Yeah, you mind your own business, Bones Jones. This is about Khabib, not you. All right, Lance is done. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you can hang with us. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.